Let us turn to John chapter 10. And let me read for you verse 11 to 16, 27 to 29, before we go to a time of prayer. John 10, verse 11 to 16. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, to them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Let us pray. Please keep your Bibles open to our text, John chapter 10. Whenever you are afraid, whenever you are in trouble, whenever you are in need, whenever you are sad, to whom do you look for? To whom do you look for your help in time of need? May all of us look only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our good shepherd. A number of weeks ago, the Reverend Das Koshy spoke on the sheep of his pasture. Well, this morning we want to consider the shepherd of the sheep. He who takes care of us, who are his sheep. And one of the most comforting metaphors in the Bible to describe God's relationship with his people is that of a shepherd. And the well-known and well-loved Psalm, Psalm 23, tells us and has a most comforting first verse: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you know, in the Gospel of John, we have a very rich teaching on our good shepherd, who is a shepherd of love. And we find this being taught in John chapter 10. And our good shepherd is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how is Jesus Christ our good shepherd? We read in verse 11 that he is our good shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." How is Jesus Christ our good shepherd? From this chapter, I can see four ways whereby our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. Firstly, our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd because he gives his life for his sheep. He gives his life for his sheep. And this we find in verse 11, which we have just read. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And consider how great this sacrifice is. For the one who has offered his life, who has given his life, is none other than our Creator himself. Jesus Christ created us in the very beginning. He existed in the very beginning. He's none other than God himself, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. I hope we know this. In fact, in the very first verse of the Gospel of John, it tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself." And this word, of course, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, for the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He made us. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And imagine our Creator, who made us, suffering and dying for us. Now you know that God cannot die. God, who is immortal, invisible, our God only wise, He has existed from eternity past, he exists right now, he will exist till eternity future. He is the ever-living, everlasting God. God cannot die. Our Creator cannot die. But nonetheless, he died for us. Only man can die. And this God became man so that he could die for our sins. Imagine how great his love is for us, that as Creator living in the heavens, he would humble himself even to this earth to become as a sheep, the shepherd becoming a sheep, the Creator becoming man in order to live amongst us, to suffer in our hands, to be nailed to the cross, to shed his precious blood, to bear the penalty of our sins so that we might obtain the joys of eternal life. How great this love is. Can anyone show such great love? Has anyone shown greater love than this? No one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only God can love in such a way. The Creator becoming as the creature, God becoming man. And when Jesus was on earth, please understand, he was 100% God and 100% man in one person. Fully God, fully man. And this God who is also man, died on the cross for you and for me to save us from our sins. And consider how great this love is when the people to whom or for whom he died were his enemies. We are his enemies. We have broken God's commandments. We have rebelled against God. And this God in his holiness should condemn us to hell and the lake of fire immediately. But no, he is very patient and long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And not only that, provided a way for us to be saved, to save his enemies. When we think of saving others, we will save those who are our friends. But this God came down to save his enemies. Consider the greatness of God's love, the love of this good shepherd. That's why in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we ought to understand the uniqueness also of this good shepherd. This good shepherd became as a sheep. Now, no shepherd can be the sheep. A shepherd is a shepherd. The sheep is a sheep. But this shepherd became sheep also, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as a unique sacrifice for our sins. And what a very humble and meek lamb he was. Isaiah 53, 4-7 describes this well. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. God became man, Emmanuel, God with us, in order to save us from our sins, to bear the penalty of our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood, and then to be raised from the dead on the third day, so that as he lives, we might live also. So take note of this. Now some of you may ask the question, how can God become man? How can the Creator become as the creature? Of course, he can, and he did. Now take note that only God can become man. He cannot become, you know, like an animal, right? The animals were not made in the image of God. But we human beings were made in God's image, in the image of God. That's why God can become man. He cannot become a monkey, right? He cannot become, right, a goat. He cannot become any other type of animal. But he can become man, because we are made in his image, right? So take note of this. So the very fact that God made man in his own image makes the incarnation possible. Incarnation refers to God becoming man. And we know that our good shepherd is not only good because he gave his life for his sheep. Our good shepherd is also good because he knows. He knows his sheep, and he knows each one of us by name. And this we find in verse 2. Now in John chapter 10 verse 2 we read, but he that entereth in by, I'm sorry. Yes, verse 2. And he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Take note, he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And then verse 11 we are told, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now he knows the sheep by name, and he leads them out, and his sheep also knows him. Now take note that our Lord knows us, not generally, but specifically, personally, individually, and particularly. Okay? He knows each one by name. Now, if a very important person remembers us and knows our name, we will feel very honored. Now, take note, our Lord Himself, our God, knows each one of us by name. I'm not very good at remembering names, but I thank the Lord, that my God, that He knows my name and remembers my name. So it doesn't matter if someone doesn't remember or know your name. God knows your name if you belong to Him, and He knows your name, each one. And He can, and of course, your name is known by Him to the very letter. He knows how to spell your name. And your name, if you believe on Him, your name is written in Lamb's Book of Life, which cannot be taken away or erased, and written in the blood of the Lamb. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you can be very sure He has spelled our name correctly, because if our name is spelled wrongly, then it may be the wrong person, it may not be you. Maybe someone else, but the Lord knows us by name, and He knows our name most accurately and most faithfully. Sometimes, you know, we forget names. I have my students too in FEBC, and when they pass up their papers, and there are times they have to not only write what course they have taken, or they will give the name of the lecturer.
And after 3 or 4 years of studies, I still have students spelling my name wrongly, not knowing my name. Well, if you are a new student, I will excuse you. But then there are students who have studied for 3, 4 years, 6, 7, 8 semesters, and still spell my name wrongly. Minus marks for these students. You know, but how we thank the Lord that he doesn't make any mistakes, and he remembers our names precisely, exactly. And this tells us also that he knows each one of us very deeply, very intimately. He knows us inside and out. He knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our needs, he knows our struggles. He knows what we think, he knows how we feel. He knows everything about us. And this gives us a whole lot of comfort, because the Lord knows how to provide for every need, both physical and spiritual, because he knows us inside and out. He knows us by name. That's the most wonderful thing. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:28-31, that he not only knows our names, he knows everything about us, even the number of hairs on our head, he knows. We don't even know exactly how many strands of hairs we have. Right? But the Lord knows us even better than we know ourselves. He knows every single strand. And if one strand of hair were to drop, he knows it. And in Matthew 10:28-31, we are told, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." Yeah, if God takes care of the birds, all right, in the air, the grass of the fields, all the things he had created, will he not care all the more for us who are made in his image, who are his people, who have been saved by him, and we are his sheep? And he is our shepherd. We are more value than many sparrows. We are very valuable to the Lord. He knows us by name, each one. And he never, never forgets. He always remembers. Unlike some of our friends, when they do not see us anymore, you know, it is out of sight, out of mind. Not the case with God. Never out of sight, never out of mind. That's why he's a most trustworthy God. Our friends may fail us, but our good shepherd never fails. He never fails us. He is most trustworthy, and he knows how to take care of our every need. Please understand this. And that's why when we are afraid, or we are in trouble, or we have a problem, we have a need, go to God first. You pray to him first. Tell him your struggles. Tell him your cares. Tell him your needs. Tell him what you think. Tell him how you feel. Tell him all these things. And he knows how to help you. Right? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Please do not think that our God is so far away, so distant, that he cannot hear our prayers, or he doesn't know what we are going through. He is in heaven, we are on earth. What does he know? He knows everything. Know that our good shepherd became a sheep. and he lived with us, he was also a human being. And in fact, right now, he remains a human being. He is both God and man forever. Do you know that? And that's why he can continue to be our great high priest. And he went through all the trials and testings of this life. And he can feel with us. He can feel for us. So please don't say he does not understand. He understands. He knows. And he can meet our need. And if you have sinned against God, please confess your sins. He can forgive. He will forgive you of your sins. No matter how great your sins may be, he is able, he is powerful to forgive you of your sins. Don't let the devil tell this lie to you or whisper in your ear, "You are such a bad person. God will never forgive you. You can never come close to God." Nothing can be further from the truth. God came very close to us in order that we might draw near to him, to know that he's a God who is so loving. And if we confess our sins, right, and we are contrite in our hearts, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is his promise. Don't doubt this good shepherd that you have. And not only does he know us by name, he also feeds us. He is our good shepherd, not only because he gave his life for us, not only because he knows us by name, he is our good shepherd because he feeds his sheep. He feeds his sheep. Our good shepherd does not fleece the sheep, right? He feeds the sheep. There are many false prophets or false shepherds in this world today. And these, the Bible calls wolves in sheep's clothing. And our Lord had warned in Matthew 7 verse 15, "Beware, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They come to fleece the flock, not feed the flock." The good shepherd feeds the flock, doesn't fleece the flock. But the false shepherd, the bad shepherd, comes to steal and to kill. And we are warned by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. And Peter said this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Make merchandise. Now, in the Greek, is a very interesting word. The word is emporiomai. That's where we get the word emporium. So all these false shepherds, they come into the church, they look, right, they look good, but inside, full of evil, wickedness, false teachings, not to feed the sheep. They feed the sheep with poison. And then they are there to fleece the sheep, make merchandise of them. The church becomes their emporium. You are all the merchandise, the goods. And they come to exploit, to take from you, to steal and kill. Be careful. And the Apostle Paul also warned, as such, are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. And John Calvin, the great reformer, says, added this, whose religion is their kitchen, whose religion is their kitchen, whose God is their belly, whose religion is their kitchen, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. But our good shepherd is not like this. He comes to give us good food. He doesn't feed us with poison. He feeds us with good food. And that's why in Psalm 23 verse 2 it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. Food and drink, food and water. He doesn't bring us and lead us to fields full of thorns and thistles. There are false shepherds, false pastors, false teachers who come in and they lead the flock to fields of thorns and thistles, preaching a false gospel, teaching doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. They bring us to polluted and dangerous fields and waters, but our good shepherd brings us to green and healthy pastures, green healthy grass to eat, and waters which are safe and not polluted. And our God has provided indeed, has provided us indeed with good food and healthy food for our spiritual feeding, which is none other than the Holy Scriptures, His Word, the 66 books of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, which is completed, the perfect Word of God which we have in our hands today. And He has kept His Word. He has given His Word pure and perfect, and He has kept His Word pure and perfect also throughout the ages. Every grain of rice is important. Nowadays there's a shortage of rice. Every grain of rice is important. Yes, there is a dearth of God's Word today. How few preach faithfully God's Word and teach faithfully God's Word. How we need every grain of rice. Every grain of rice is good. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And so every book, we believe, every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, every syllable, every letter of God's Word is good, it's pure, it's perfect, infallible, inerrant, and should not at all be despised. Never, never despise God's Word. Please don't think, some people teach, oh, there are certain parts of God's Word that are essential, important. There are some parts of God's Word that are non-essential, not so important. Does the Bible teach this? Paul never taught like this. He told the Ephesian church, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, all the counsel of God to you. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. In other words, every word is important. Every word is essential. Every word is good. And we must study every word of God. It takes a lifetime. And even then, we may not exhaust the infinite riches that's found in God's Word. I believe when we get to heaven, we will continue to feed on God's Word. We continue to know more and more of God's Word and enjoy the great and wonderful spiritual feast, not only now, but in the life hereafter. I believe in heaven, right? All of us will become Bible college students. There's so many wonderful things to learn about God. And the more we learn about God, the more we will want to worship Him, the more richer, all right, and more in-depth will be our worship of God when we know Him more and more. I'm looking forward to, you know, attending Bible classes in heaven. I want to listen to what David has to teach me. Many things in this life I want to know. Things not recorded in the Scriptures too. I want to learn from David, these great men of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then New Testament, so many of the saints, the Lord Jesus Christ, many of the things, you know, that He had done or He had taught, not recorded in the Scriptures. Because if everything were recorded, the whole library in the world will not be able to contain. So many things to learn from our Lord Jesus Himself. It takes, I think, forever to know our God. We'll know Him more and more. We start knowing Him now. And then when we get to heaven, we'll know more and more. And the worship in heaven will be very rich, very glorious, as we grow in our knowledge and our love for the Lord. So start now. Start studying and knowing God, and you'll find yourself able to worship God in spirit and truth in a more deep and meaningful and richer way. He is our good shepherd, and he feeds us with his word. And he tells us that his sheep knows his voice, right? Can recognize his voice. In John 10, 4, verse, in John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, we read Jesus saying, "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Yes. Are you able to recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of our Lord? And how do you hear the voice of God? Right? You hear the voice of God through his word. The word of God is none other than the voice of him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, every syllable, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High. And when good food is fed to you from the scriptures, you know it. Just like, you know, if you are given a food on the table, whether it is good food or bad food, you can taste it and you can know it. You can tell. And likewise, how do you know you're getting good spiritual feeding and good food? How do you know the Bible is true? How do you know that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin? How do you know that Jesus died for your sins? How do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do you know the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake? How do you know that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man? How do you know all these things? Well, if you are God's sheep, you will know. You will believe. You follow. For all these doctrines bring glory to the Lord. Any doctrine that demotes our Savior or causes you to have a low view of God, of his word, then you know these are thorns and thistles. They are poison. But any and every doctrine that will glorify God, that will promote our Savior, he must increase and I decrease. You know that is good food. Healthy food. It glorifies our Father in heaven and our Savior and is good for my soul. And if you are a true sheep of God, you'll be able to recognize and you follow. A false shepherd, you will not follow, right? You are able to discern. False sheep will follow the false shepherd, but the true sheep will follow the true or the good shepherd. And that's why Jesus said, "Ye believe not, there are those who believe not. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verses 26 and 27. So take note, are you God's sheep? Are you able to understand the scriptures? Are you able to recognize the voice of the Lord, the good voice of the Lord? When good doctrine is taught to you, when the word of God is read to you, and when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, do you say, oh yeah, yea, hath God said? Or do you say, amen, amen? Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And then you drink in the good milk and the good meat of God's word. And then your heart is strangely warm. You find the Holy Spirit strengthening your faith, your life. And you have questions, the Holy Spirit gives you the answers. And you say, praise the Lord. Or do you say, oh yeah, oh yeah? No, the good sheep who can recognize the voice of the good shepherd will say, amen, amen. And never doubt or question what God says in his word. Please understand this. And in order to do this, dear friends, in order to be discerning, to be able to tell truth from error, right from wrong, you need to know God's word very, very well. Spare no effort, dear friends, to study God's word. Not only daily reading God's word, reading good Christian literature, the books written by our pastor, our beloved founding pastor, additional stock has come in. You can get a hold of them, have a good library of them and read them, all right, systematically. Come for Sunday school. We have good lessons right here at 9:15 to 10:15. Why don't you come? Why won't you come? Next week we will be screening a video lecture on God's word preserved, the Bible preserved from Satan's attack by Dr. Del Johnson, who will be lecturing. Won't you come and know? People ask you questions, are you able to answer? Are you able to give them a reason for the hope that is in you? How we must know. And then when people come and say, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, have God said, do you become shaken in your faith? Do you doubt? Do you begin to question? If you doubt and question, that's because you fail to strengthen yourself, right, in God's word. You're still a babe in Christ. Please strengthen yourself in the faith. Know God's word so that when you know God's word, any question or doubt, you know, that Satan would put in your mind, the Holy Spirit can use the word of God to give you a verse, right? Give you a reference, give you the word to repel all the doubts and the questions that Satan will put in your mind to go against God, to not believe in the Lord. But you must be rich in the scriptures. Why won't you come? And then we have the FEBC night classes. Take advantage. Study the word of God deeply and systematically, and you'll find yourself much happier for it. And how the Lord will bless you with His joy and His peace when you know God's word deeply. This is what I want to stress. Keep on feeding, dear friends, with God's word. Don't listen to gossips and rumors. Listen to God's word, pure and holy, and it will give you joy and peace. Okay? Listening to gossips and rumors will only cause us to be upset, disturbed, and troubled. But the good word of the Lord will give us confidence in Him and will encourage our hearts greatly. So take note of this. The fourth way, all right, whereby our good shepherd is our good shepherd, is that He keeps us. All right, He keeps us. In John chapter 10, verse 27, we read this: My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. What a great comfort. The good shepherd keeps or protects and preserves his sheep from harm and danger. The sheep will not lose its life because the good shepherd takes care of them very, very faithfully and carefully. And he will make sure that all of us, all His sheep, will arrive safe home. None will be lost. No sheep, not one, will be lost. The good shepherd has sacrificed His life for us to save every single life of His sheep. And He will make sure that no sheep needs to sacrifice its life or to die. He has given to us life, eternal life. And He will make sure that He will keep us until the very end, that we will never, never lose our salvation. Once you are saved, God will make sure you remain saved until the very end. He is our good shepherd. He is all powerful. He knows each and every one of us by name. He feeds us. He leads us. He guides us. He will protect us until the very end. No doubt about it. There's no way whereby the sheep can lose its way, all right? Can get lost. Sometimes we may get lost or lose our way, but the good shepherd will go and seek us out and bring us back to the fold, and He will lead us safe home. That is for sure. No one can pluck us out of His Father's hand. And Jesus said, I and My Father are one, and He as a good shepherd also cares for us. Who is more powerful than our God? Who is more powerful than our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is anyone more powerful than He? No one. He's all powerful. Satan, who is powerful, is not all powerful. Satan himself cannot, right, take us away from God, cannot pluck us out of His hand. But we must make sure we are sheep and not goats. Make sure we are sheep and not pigs. If we are pigs or goats, still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are still not forgiven. We know we are very guilty, we are guilty of our sins. And you do not know when you die, or if Jesus comes back, or if the world ends today, you will be in heaven or in hell. You are not sure. And in your heart, you know you're not good enough. You'll probably be in hell. Well, that is your conscience, you know, indicting you, convicting you. The law of God, the conscience that God has given to us in our hearts, tells us we are no good. But we need someone who is good. And the only one who is good is God. The only one who is good is our good shepherd, who has given his life for his sheep. And you want to become his sheep. Don't remain a goat. Don't remain a pig. Be a sheep washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Believe that God had raised him from the dead. You will live. You will have eternal life. And you can be very sure one day you will be heaven. All your sins are forgiven. Please do not delay in doing this. And we who are sheep, better make sure we are sheep. Please let us not deceive ourselves. We are sheep when we are actually goats or pigs. Make sure of your salvation. Know that you are truly saved. And once the Lord has saved you, you will know for sure, not only by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit within your heart, the inward testimony, that you are truly saved. And your life will change. Your life will be transformed. And you will see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You will see that change in your life. And you know the Lord will deal with you as children. If you walk waywardly, He will chastise you. And when He chastises you, you know that He is dealing with you as sons and daughters. Do you experience God in your life in such a way? Are you having this lively relationship with the Lord? I pray you do. And the Lord allows us to go through trials and testings in our life and sufferings in our life to prove our faith, to help us make sure that we are truly believers, His sheep. And when we are His sheep, we know. And when we pray to Him in times of trouble, He helps us. And we have daily, you know, a constant and continual and lively walk with Him. That's how we know. It's not just mental knowledge, just know in our head. Know it in our heart, and we must know it in our lives. And when you know it, you have the assurance of salvation, and you know that once God has made you a sheep, all right, you will not be turned back into a goat or into a pig. You will remain sheep forever. Forever. And He, the Good Shepherd, will take care of you. You know, today people are very strange and quite perverted in their thinking. They are born male, but they want to become female. And so they go for sex change. Now, nothing of this sort can ever happen to the believer. Once you are truly born again, born into God's family, now you have become a sheep, God's sheep, you will not be changed back into a goat, and you will not want also to be changed back into a goat or into a pig. Once upon a time, we lived as pigs in the fields and dirt of our life and our sins. Now we no longer. We are washed clean, and we are God's lambs and God's sheep. And a sheep will not behave like a pig. Alright? And a sheep will not desire also to behave like a pig. So we have to examine ourselves. Do we desire to live as sinners believe? I enjoy my sin. I thank God that He has saved me. I believe in Jesus Christ. But I enjoy the carnal pleasures of this life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I cannot give that up. Well, I'm glad God has saved me from my sins, and I'm thankful that, you know, when I believe in Him, my sins are all forgiven, and He says He will keep on forgiving me of my sins. And since I have this blank check from Him, I can do all I want, all I like. I continue to live according to my former ways as a pig. Would you desire to do that? Someone who is truly a sheep, born again, has the nature of a sheep, will not behave like a pig or desire to behave like a pig. How do I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because I'm walking like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm becoming more and more like Christ in my thought, in my feelings, in my behavior. I'm becoming more and more like Him. And I don't desire, when I sin against the Lord, I feel very, very miserable. I'm not happy about it. I don't enjoy it. And then the Holy Spirit convicts me, and I go on my knees. I confess and I repent. I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do this again. Help me also not to commit such a sin again. We will have this desire. Do you have this desire? If you have, that's a good sign. If you belong to the Lord, right, you will walk like this. And the Lord knows how to take care of us until the very end. So what a good shepherd we have, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's our good shepherd because He gave His life for us. He's our good shepherd because He knows us individually and particularly. He's our good shepherd because He feeds us with good and healthy spiritual food. And He is our good shepherd because He protects and preserves us until the very end, so that we will not be lost at all. Every sheep will be accounted for. So walk close with Him. The question is, are you His sheep? If not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and He will change you into a sheep, His sheep, and He will take care of you forever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy good word. Thank Thee that Jesus is our good shepherd. Please encourage and comfort our hearts to know this wonderful truth. And those who are still outside Thy kingdom, I pray you may speak to their hearts, that they might believe and come into the fold of the good shepherd, into the fold of the sheep, that we might be with Thee and walk with Thee all the days of our life. For Thou art worthy of our following and our belief. And we pray that we may be worthy sheep as well, to walk in the straight and narrow way, to hear the voice of our Savior all the time, and recognize it and to follow it. And stranger's voice we will not hear. So help us, we pray. Help us to come back unto Thee, return unto Thee, and repent of our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.